That's it. I hope you feel good about yourself. Now fucking host.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Dungeon Death Sentence, where I, Coop, am your lead executioner, and I am joined today by my fellow executioners. We got Engines of Stone.
Yo, what's up?
We got Onyx Robot.
Yo.
And we got the Spoingus herself, Olive.
I wonder if this pizza's still good.
How old is it?
Last night.
You fucking ruined that shit. Go for it.
You see, I thought you were about to say it's ruined. I'm like, what's wrong with overnight pizza?
The funniest part is that this slice of pizza already has like 3 bites taken out of it.
Oh, what the fuck?
Okay. Who starts a slice of pizza and doesn't finish?
It's me.
Also, my behalf. So.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, we're no longer Dungeon Death Sentence, we're Dungeon Death Snacks.
Today's topic is on crackers.
Hey now.
Wait, white boys?
You can't say the C word.
You mean beep?
It almost sounded like you were swearing Coop.
Your name is now redacted.
Okay, so similar to how we did it last time, the formula for Dungeon Death Sentence has been switched up a bit, so if you haven't listened to the previous episode, I would recommend doing that now. And this is probably going to be very confusing for Onyx and Olive, as they weren't really here last time.
What the shit?
So, have fun. No, I'll explain. So, it's basically, we're still going to go through 3 scenarios, but it's not going to be a situation where there's any, like, hard feelings, or it's like a dungeon master versus a player kind of thing. Most of these scenarios actually end up like happy and everybody is like in a good mindset. It's more just like we're looking at the crazy shit that people get up to, and it's like, who could have done better, the DM or the players? And then we just rate each out of 5, and we have a third score of like luck, because sometimes luck has a big role to play in some of these stories. And then basically whoever has the lowest score gets executed. Sound good? Clear as mud?
Yes.
Probably.
We're hugging out our feelings now? What the fuck is this?
Onyx wants blood.
Look, things... I mean, the first scenario is going to be great for you in that sense. Okay. Honestly... It was just getting too dark with the regular DDS, so it was just like, these keep just getting worse. So the first scenario is called metagaming.
Oh no.
So this really became a question of like how much reality and like rules is written kind of like mentality to take into a game. And this became like a really big point between like the dungeon master and one of the players in like a party of 4, and it was continuously like discussed throughout the campaign, and several different topics come up, and each time that, you know, each would present their like cases and then go forward with whatever solution they found, and then the party kind of went forward with that in mind. Like, one such instance included when a player brought up the fact that enemies wouldn't really know when a player is unconscious or dead on the ground, as that would technically be metagaming. And then the DM was just like, okay, fair point, but technically the party wouldn't know either, so from now on, I'm going to be rolling all death saves in secret. Which built up a lot of the urgencies in certain battles, as it became a difference of like, oh, you know, he's on 2 passes and 1 fail. We don't need to heal him right away, you know. The odds of a nat 1 are pretty slim. Versus like now, they're just like, shit, he's been down for 3 rounds. Get him up.
like that. That is scary.
It is. Mm. It adds a lot of tension to the game. And it also led to different types of discussions where certain enemies, like ghouls, wolves, gnolls that eat flesh, these type of enemies would typically go for downed players since they're motivated by, like, hunger or anger, so they go for the easy target. But other enemies, like bandits, would either move on to the next enemy, take a hostage, that kind of thing. So it created more of a dynamic, like, encounter setup, as each time the players had to, like, gauge what kind of enemies they were facing, how the enemies would react to them, and stuff like that.
That's cool.
And then other instances of this kind of stuff coming up is, like, one time the cleric was asking the fighter, you know, how healthy he was, and then the DM's just like, no, that would be metagaming, because a player cannot actually, like, state the number, because a character would not specifically know their health. And so, like, one of the players eventually starts, like, getting around this cheekily, because he's just like, you know, like, on a scale of, like, 1 to 62, I'm about a 19 right now.
Cheeky fucker.
Yeah, right?
Give him a slap.
So what are your guys' thoughts on this whole situation?
I love it whenever a DM is able to incorporate that well. Now, if they can't incorporate it well, it turns into a bit of a... bit of a cluster. Because I've been in scenarios of both sides of things, where the DM did well about keeping the metagaming down, and a DM who didn't do so well. Like, in the health pool category thing of things, when people are bloodied, you know, at their halfway point, it is visibly telling on either monsters or players, right? Because that is literally a state you're in. You're bleeding. You're at a point where your half your blood is on the ground. At this point, so
it's like when, you know, sometimes I might ask, like, well, how does the boss look? Well, it looks kind of fucked up. It's like, okay, well, I know, like, we're getting close. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't have to tell me he has 10 HP left or something. Just, yeah, I feel like that works. And yeah. Engines, you're that's killing me.
Oh, the 16 out of 59.
Like, yeah, that's a little yeah, it's a little sly. Yeah, and I think, like, a lot of it kind of depends on the you know, kind of the tone you want for it and stuff, because, you know, that the DM could definitely go off the fucking rails on it and just be an asshole about it. But, like, as long as they can maintain some decency about it and, you know, fairness, then and, you know, the players are all down for that, then, you know, I think it's great.
Basically.
No additional words.
So you agree.
So, the thing is, metagame's gonna fucking happen no matter what anyway, because most of the time, especially in a stressful situation, players will fucking forget. Yo, the more they're attached they are to their characters, the more likely they are to forget that they're not meant to really just shout out random numbers and stuff like that. But that is a really good way. See, that's what I like to do when I run mine, is just be like... Blooded is a thing in Pathfinder, as far as I remember, and you generally tell the players he's blooded. Mm-hmm. The same as, you know... the players can ask and you say. So blooded will give you an indication of half health, below half. Cool. I like that. Yeah, description is far better if I'm running. If somebody said, well, I'm looking pretty bad, you know, I'm bleeding out thing, or I'm looking exhausted, then, like, yeah, you know, they're pretty bad. You know, saying numbers isn't fun. I don't like stat talking. I don't like number talking and stuff like that. Taking away death rolls, that's just fucking mean, but I love it. You ain't rolling your death rolls anymore. Why?
Because I'm going to do it.
Of course, that's terrible fun. If your DM has shit luck and rolls all ones for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the problem is, then you'll get infighting, because the player then could blame the DM for the death of their character. It's like, well, if you didn't complain in the first fucking place about... this, that, and the other, or you didn't metagame like that, then, you know.
Yeah. But it does bring an interesting idea to it as well, where it's just like, in theory, the player himself, or the character himself, would not be in control of whether he lives or dies. It is technically just chance anyway, so... Yeah.
I would get them just to okay it. Like, I am doing these death saves. Are we good with that? And then, you know, if somebody has a problem with it, then they will have to talk it out or something. But the thing is, if your character dies, you have to be okay with the fact that I rolled and your character died. And, you know, just all be on an even, you know, talking thing and make sure they know and they're okay with what could possibly happen, especially... if it's to fix a metagame problem, which, to be truthful, unless you, like, memorize the entire books and you just want to keep reinforcing the rules as written, generally, like, most people don't like metagaming.
I find I have that problem because I've DM'd.
Once you being DM, a DM is a bastard, isn't it?
Because you gotta understand things to be able to competently run a game. That you've seen behind the screen a lot more than most, and it can fuck with you if you go back to being a player.
Yeah, between you and Raz, like, this guy's
sorry,
trying to run
I'm
something,
sorry.
you're like,
sorry.
Well, hold on now.
No, sorry.
I can see an issue that comes up with those hidden death rolls. What if your paladin's standing next to you? Does the DM take that into consideration? What if... you had a bardic inspiration before you went down. Does the DM add that into consideration?
It puts a lot more on the DM to know their characters very well as well.
Yeah.
Wait, what happens when the paladin's standing next to you?
You get the charisma bonus if they're level 6 or higher.
Ah, well, yeah. That,
death saving
throw,
because it's still a saving throw.
It's gonna
put a lot on
the DM.
On the DM to make sure that they're up to spec with everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Better be a good note taker.
The thing that I really like, though, is the animalistic behavior. That is such a cool, like, yeah, okay, we want to not metagame. You want to seem like I'm not the one in control of these entities? Fine. The animal ones are going to eat you.
Oh, yeah, no. Dogs are going to kidnap a body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got our meal.
I really like that idea.
What? The street cats are going to eat your toes.
Okay, so to bring it back,
yeah.
Scores out of 5 for player, DM, and luck.
I don't know. How did the player respond to all of it?
It was mainly just a discussion between the DM and the player. Like, the player was bringing up, like, the first bit of metagaming. DM was kind of like the other two and just being like, okay, well, if we've already set this precedent, it has to go like this and this, then.
Cool.
I think the DM and the player worked well together in this scenario. Like, they actually came to a good conclusion for everybody.
Found a problem, fixed a problem, and everybody agreed that that is a better step to take than continuously breaking game immersion.
5 out of 5. Each side of the table made for a better table.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So no one gets executed. Excellent.
Now for luck.
I don't think there really was any luck. I think it mainly just came down to the fact that it's just like, it was all discussion. It was all worked out.
Yeah, that was all constructed. That wasn't like, oh, well, this just fell into place. It's like, no, they sat there and worked all that shit out.
Oh, I took luck as a different factor as a flip a coin. One of them's got to die.
I mean, in theory, we could. I was thinking of luck being the deciding factor of which way it would go, but I'm like, there wasn't really much of a lucky aspect.
I got some fucking dice here.
All right, do it.
All right, odds. Players die. It's a 5. Players die.
Oof.
Oof.
Tough,
poor players.
Tough luck, right. Buddies.
See you next time.
Cut out of the edit.
Should have argued less. Okay, scenario number 2. Makers of their own destruction. So, this starts with the second session of a campaign where players visited like their first potion shop and are getting ready for like a big adventure. One of the party was asking like how much for a healing potion, and one of the other players in the group who was actually playing remotely and listening to this, you know, via like a crummy mic and all that kind of setup, actually very similar to how Sky used to have me with one of his D&D groups where it's just like online and I'm just like, sweet, I can hear a third of what's going on. So the guy on the other end is just like, wait, did you just ask how much for a potion of yelling? So everybody thought that was hilarious, and the DM, you know, staying in character, just makes up the magic item right there and just was like, oh, you were looking for my super special awesome potion of yelling? Of course I have one of those. I can it can shatter glass and make a man go deaf. So one of the chaotic players actually ends up buying one. Saves onto it basically until like session 40, whatever. Players are level 6, enter into an alchemist's lab filled with like potions, jars, oozes, living specimens, all that kind of jackpot. Yes. The paladin drinks the potion, screams into the room, destroys every bit of glass, and total chaos just reigns. What they didn't realize until their rest at the end of the day was that they had also just freed the big bad of the campaign. Now, to explain this portion, apparently we also need to go back in time to their session 10, where they had also actually played the Wild Sheep Chase one-shot, where they had true polymorphed a wizard named Noak, which was like the evil wizard of it, into a newt, and then the party druid, as like any animal lover would do, scooped it up, put him in a jar as a pet, and then carried the evil wizard around ever since. And then in the alchemist's lab, since every glass object was shattered, sets free the evil wizard who is a newt. To make matters worse, the alchemist that escaped as well and was working on a potion that was basically the ooze from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that turned them into the karate fighting whatevers that they turned out to be.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
That's what they turned them into.
So, yeah, so this party basically sees, like, the alchemist fleeing the town with a humanoid lizard, and one by one they all start realizing what happened, and then the DM's just like, ah, yes, all according to my plan. And this story is actually ongoing, actually. The DM just wrote this all because he apparently couldn't stop laughing about it. And currently the party is trying to desperately track down the duo before they get too powerful, because they're both definitely out for revenge.
Nice.
So what are your guys' thoughts on that?
It just sounds like a really fun adventure to me.
I mean... Yeah, that's like... that's actually a really fun way to get there.
Mm. I enjoy the concept of karate fighting lizard kids.
Yeah.
Who is also an evil wizard.
Yeah.
Oh. I think it's twofold of, one, the DM having a good sense of humor and working that good sense of humor into his plot hooks. And the chaotic players... reckless abandon for using a potion of yelling.
I think it just goes to show just how, like, if you get a decent team together, a good lead, and the support players, then you can have some really wacky, crazy shit, and it doesn't have to, like, be segmented or premeditated. It can, you could just kind of roll with it and see where you go, which is, to me, what draws me into D&D in the first place, the roleplay element, and the fact that you can just, anything can fucking happen, especially from something so weird as just mishearing how somebody said something. It's just so good.
Yeah, it's like, also, you know, you players could have maybe prevented this. Are you telling me you don't have anybody on the party chaotic enough to just, like, you know, apply boot to Lizard and, like, so now the evil wizard is dead? Like, look, their own, like, you know, wanting to do good or something and keep it alive as a pet is what got them in this situation. So, you know, DM capitalized and made a really funny story out of it. So,
yeah, it's just, yep.
Yeah.
Too good. So we got a rating?
Yeah.
10 out of 10 for the DM going like, yes, potion of yelling.
Yeah. I was going to say 10 out of 10 to luck.
Because oh, yeah.
Totally, everything just worked out so well, but completely by accident.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
The DM went with the potion of yelling because in character mishearing, love it. The players using the potion, but having kept the fucking bad guy. Oh, just, yeah, too good. So good. But I want to join that camp. You know what? Fuck this. I'm leaving the Z team. I'm joining that podcast. It's too good.
Yeah, I mean, just like, hell, you don't even want to squish it. Just put a rock in the jar and throw it in a lake. Like,
it didn't even say if they put holes in the top so the thing could breathe.
It's a good,
yeah,
point.
That's a fair point.
Oh, wait, never that's mind. A it's, point? It's a 1 out of 10 for the DM. He didn't kill it because there's no breathing holes.
Or feed it. I don't think the players fed it either.
Yeah, but to be fair, look how much we dick about. Session 40 could be like 2 days.
We don't have pets, though.
Actually, we're just not allowed to dick about that much.
So yeah, luck gets the full score.
DM gets full score by you, I suspect.
And players get a 4 out of 5 for not describing if they fed the lizard wizard.
Agreed entirely. That is exactly the same score I'm giving. Actually, you know what? 3 out of 5 for the players because they didn't just boot it in the first place.
I mean, how do we know that they knew it was the big bad?
They didn't. The DM just turned him into the big bad.
Yeah.
See, you know, I'd like to point out, we did the same adventure. We polymorphed a fucking sheep into a horse. We kept the horse.
Whatever happened to that horse?
It became a regular plaything. We don't talk about it.
Oh.
Oh, did we forget that?
Forgot about that part.
It wasn't my fault. People put it on me.
You didn't put nothing on me.
Right, I just roll with the punches, and somebody made out that apparently I like having sex with horses, so I just kept with it. Like, sure, why not? Polymorph me into a horse, let's go some.
Tides hands feel dirty.
Y'all made fucking Joseph gay for the king.
Okay. Look.
That was all that, you lot. I didn't say
it wasn't that we made him gay. It's just we made a lot of jokes at his expense and his knee pad armor.
For fuck's sake. Oh, damn it. Shut up, Coop. Get to the next one. Oh, dear.
Scenario number 3. The big bad. So, this is honestly my favorite story that I found. And I think some of you might agree. So, the DM starts off a campaign. I bet he makes new characters. There's like six of them in total, so I think it's a DM and five players. And after the first session, the DM pulls each player aside one by one and informs each and every one of them that they are, in fact, the big bad of the campaign.
Hey.
They are allowed to do whatever they want, and then it will be revealed at the end of the campaign that, you know, player X was, in fact, the big bad the whole time to the rest of the group. Only the entire group thought that they were it. The DM mainly did this to have a campaign where each player is basically just, like, screwing with the others. but it ended up going, like, way beyond that. Players ended up having, like, individual sessions with the DM in advance to like further their stories, make plans to intervene with like the main party or to like progress something else so that like their own plans could be furthered and stuff like that. So overall, 3 years go by and the party is sneaking into like a long forgotten palace to steal a crystal that's supposed to give the user godlike abilities. And the party manages to, like, fight their way to it. And then all chaos breaks out as each of the players basically is trying to reach the gem and is revealing that the gem belongs to them. And everybody basically just goes for it. And this leads to, like, each party member fighting each other, revealing that they're, like, the final boss and they've been hiding in plain sight the whole time. And everybody is just, like, killing each other at that point. And it ends up with, like, two of the players remaining alive and neither confident that they could, like, kill the other one or, like, fight, grab the crystal without being killed first. And so it ended up with, like, both of them backing down, parting ways, and, like, trying to, like, plan ways in which to assassinate each other and stuff like that. So all players respectively confused about why everybody's saying the same thing, that most of them died, and then at the end of the session, the DM basically just, like, explained what he did, and that there was never really, like, a big bad of the campaign, except for the fact that if one of them actually reached the crystal, it very likely would have. Most of the players actually were really okay with this, as it led to such a convoluted campaign, and everybody was able to, like, talk to each other about, like, secret plans that they had, like, made to screw with each other, sneaky things that they did to each other, either to get back at them or to get, like, certain characters to interact with other characters in interesting ways, and it just basically ended up, like a big talking session over hours where everybody was like reminiscing about the campaign and all the crap they had done to each other. So yeah, what is your guys' thoughts?
I really enjoyed that. I don't know, like, that would... It's kind of a cool concept, but imagine not having stable players.
Yo.
It's like, because they've been stated that they can do whatever they like and that they are the big bad. Right, fair. Okay, so what happens if whatever they like is a little bit extreme?
In terms of?
I don't know, like, there's one thing to go on a, you know, a pre-written quest and go and find, you know, go and retrieve items and shit like that, or kill somebody. But if you're given freedom, see, if I get a bit heavy into role-playing and the DM doesn't give me a reason to travel with a party, I might as well roll a new character up. So telling me I'm the big bad and I have the power to do anything, or at least I'm allowed to do whatever I like, why would I follow a story? Why would I even be in a D&D campaign at that point? I love the idea, and I'd really like to try it. But, obviously, it's spoiled now, but... Like, why would I go along with a party if I'm this big, strong, evil guy?
You're worried that your own personal interests would not coincide with the party's, and that's...
Yeah, my character's interests would just not align with what I assume the DM would put them on a bit of a goody-goody track or fetch quests or something. I mean, I'd have to know more about what has actually happened. But yeah, I would feel... I don't know. Like, maybe, yeah, there wouldn't be an alignment there.
I guess that it might also be... I guess you'd have to create some sort of pressure or something that makes it to where, you know... you as the big bad have to go with the rest of the party because you wouldn't be able to handle it on your own. I mean, like, you know, if the campaign's over the course of 3 years, it's not like they all got together in the beginning and the DM's like, by the way, like, here in, like, 100 sessions or something, y'all are going to be going after this big crystal. So, like, it'll give you god powers or something, wink. Like, I can't imagine it was like that. But, like, you know... I'm sure there was like a, I mean, you know, there could just be like suspense of disbelief or whatever. And, you know, just, you know, we're here in a party together. So just, you know, stick with each other and, you know, our friends will do the campaign and all that. But, you know, I imagine you could add some sort of pressure there that could, you know, basically make it to where, you know, the quote unquote big bad character would want to stay with the rest of the party. Like, it's necessary for them to reach their goals.
I mean, that's fair, yeah. If you make it like that is your quest as the big evil guy, because you want to cause disruption. But then again, that again is on the assumption that that's what, as a big bad, I would want to do.
Yeah.
I think I'm poking too many holes in this one. I do like the idea, honestly.
Well, and that's kind of where
I just think it's... If you put me in there, I would be like, well, I have my own agenda, being as I want to cause disruption. Or maybe it's only items, like, oh, you need to go here to go get this item so that you can gain more power and do your evil shit. That I can probably go along. He's like, all right, fair enough. You're not wrong. When am I going to get my castle and henchmen, though? When am I going to get sharks with lasers on their head? Come on. We need these things, you know?
Sharks with freaking lasers on
their head. Yeah, I'm glad you got it.
Freaking heads.
And I guess that, like, makes sense to pursue as well. Like, maybe it's a, you know, you need this item as, like, the big bad to, like, do a certain thing or something like that. Or you need these sets of items to, you know, use as power-ups or something. Like...
Yeah,
hey, you know, for this bit of the campaign, for the next 10 sessions, we're going to be going after this, like, ring or something that, you know, could potentially let you, I don't know, raise skeletons or something. And
that would be the only thing that would probably get me to move around. The logistics of I like the idea of doing an evil campaign. I love the idea of doing that, like, pretend everyone's not the big bad that they are. But yeah, that would be the only thing that would be able to get me to do anything. Is to... Item over there, go get it. It's like, would that not become samey? I guess then it's up to the players to make it fun. Although it's kind of the onus is on everybody. You are a storytelling group.
And it's kind of like where I get back to the whole, like, suspension of disbelief thing as well. Is like, maybe at a certain point, everyone just kind of agrees, like, hey, like, and you know, he didn't tell everyone, but, you know, all of the party members all separately thinking they are, you know, can make the choice, like, hey, maybe I should just stay with the party because that's the story that's being made. And so, you know, as absurd as it might be for me to stay and not just go off and do my own evil thing, like,
yeah,
you know, this is the campaign that was built, so I'm gonna stick with it.
Yeah, it's one of those things of, like, poetic licenses and type of thing where it's just like, well, you know, it's a bit of a meta game thing, but yeah, like, I'll stick with these guys because also, in real life, I'm actually playing with these guys. So it would make no sense for me to walk off and do something on my own.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, part of me also expects that, like, the DM may have stated something like, you know, you're not powerful enough to be the big bad yet, but it's like, you gotta get there. And so, with a lot of the times when it comes to, like, if they were going their separate ways, they may not have been strong enough to do all that kind of stuff on their own, but in a group of, like, five, they would have been.
Yeah.
So it could have been a situation like that.
Yeah, more than likely. That would be, yeah, that would be another way of keeping everyone together, I guess.
My thoughts come to the D&D movie. I can't remember the exact name. There was a guy who was within an evil party, and he was the only good person. And even against his better moral judgment, he stuck with this evil party to complete his goals.
There was a D&D movie?
What kinds of old school D&D movies?
Like, you mean like the ones where they're all dressed up and magic and stuff, not the ones where they're sat in the basement playing D&D?
Yeah,
cool.
And it was a funny watch because of how much he had to put up with the evil party shenanigans. Like, they fucking kill an entire village of people after they save it from a big monster because one of the evil people couldn't get what they exactly wanted. I'm like, what the fuck? And the guy's like, God. You know, I gotta stick with him so I can complete this damn objective. So.
I guess that'll work.
I'd say, I don't know what my score is going to be on this one.
I
think luck had to do a heavy hand in this, that the other players did not discover that each of them was a big bad, so to speak.
Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking the same thing, because I'm just like, that's 3 years where nobody accidentally let it slip. Or anything.
That very is lucky. Pretty awesome. Imagine having that many friends that you can trust. Even if it's something silly out of a game, it's like, still, you managed to keep that secret for 3 whole years? Well done, you.
Oh, dude, I saw a version of this exact scenario, but it was a West March form where you had, like, dozens of players. Mm-hmm. And they were all designated big bads. And they somehow kept it secret from each other for, like, I think 2 years of the server life before they got, like, to a certain power scale. And then everybody started discovering each other's secret fortresses and shit. And it just blew up.
What's this castle doing?
Goblin minions? Kobold soldiers? Your handwriting? Oh, fuck. I want to give it a 5 out of 5 for the players because they were able to keep that shit secret.
Mm. Agreed.
Yeah. Mm. I'm with you on that one.
DM.
The DM had a good idea, though, to be fair.
Yeah, and he executed that shit, too, so...
Yeah, for 3 fucking years. Imagine having a campaign that lasts for 3 years. That you use a session every week.
With extra sessions on top of that for most of the players.
Yeah, that's right. They were doing the one-on-ones, weren't they? Damn. That's some commitment.
Yep.
And they still didn't tell each other.
Would have been an awkward group chat.
So you all guys know I'm the big bad, right? Well, I thought that was me. Wait, Josh said it was me. Fuck. Well,
it's kind of incredible, though, at the end they all just start fucking murdering each other to get it. Like,
yep.
Yeah, I think that was perfectly constructed, and I think the players were really great. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's great scores all around. I'm voting for no execution, but...
I'll second it. I mean, we didn't do it in the second.
I mean, personally, this was my favorite story, mm-hmm. so.
Hell yeah. That's really fun. I didn't know people run campaigns where they have a designated baddie in the player pool.
I've never That's ran cool. one myself.
Neither did I, honestly.
I now want to play one. But you're meant to keep it a secret, I assume, so.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of wanting to play an evil campaign.
You gotta be careful with evil campaigns.
Yeah, right? Me too.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. Like, you need some people you trust not to go off a fucking deep end.
Hey, guys! I'll be your best player for an evil campaign. Trust me, I stay on the straight and narrow all the time. I never give
in evil.
Yeah, right. Never give in to outside influences or change my backstory on a whim.
Or do Ever. Something absolutely atrocious.
I'm like, my good characters fuck horses, so I don't know what my bad characters are going to do.
A model citizen.
They're actually abstinent.
Yeah, they don't have sex at all. But they have the biggest dick ever, so it's just like, nobody's getting this. That's the true evil of the world. This is so wrong, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I think that about does it for this episode, then. Thank you, everybody, for joining us and listening in on this new style of Dungeon Death Sentence. And a special thank you to all my fentanyl executioners.
Yes, I'm
fentanyl. I'm fentanyl.
I'm fentanyl.
Not in America.
Thanks for having me, Coop!
Not a problem. I'm sorry about that. I literally burped a bit, which is why I couldn't say that properly.
Sexy.
Yeah. Thanks, Engines. Thanks, Onyx. Yeah. And thank you, Olive.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye!